Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So tonight we will continue this amazing argument that takes place between Sri Krishna and his dearest gopis. Yesterday we heard how when Krishna blocked the way of the gopis and they ignored him at first, and then he sent his friends to bring them back because they kept walking, and they came back, and Lalita decided that peaceful negotiation was the best method to get out of this difficulty. So she tried to explain to Krishna he was a very nice boy, they were from the same village, there shouldn't be any difficulty, he's so religious, and so forth. And Krishna, he said, I'm very sorry that I have to do this work, but I am bound and shackled by the emperor of the forest. And they said, what is the name of the emperor? Is it King Kamsa? And he said, no, it's Maha Manmata. And the girls laughed and said, we've never heard of such an emperor. I think you have made this up. And Krishna said, no. And of course, Madhu Mangal laughed at them that they hadn't heard of Maha Manmata, he who churns everybody's minds. So then Krishna asked them what they would like to pay. And first of all, Chitra very politely said that they wouldn't mind paying him a cowry, except that it would make the sacrificial ghee that they were carrying to the sacrifice impure, so they couldn't even do that. And then Vishakha, when he became even more insistent, said, all right, we will pay you one kakini, and a kakini is 20 cowries. So Krishna wasn't very impressed with their offers. And then Lalita could understand that it was going to escalate. So he suggested that Srimati Radharani and the other girls put down their beautiful golden pots on the ground and they wait for 10, 20 minutes and discuss this matter before going on. Krishna was very pleased and he offered them betel leaves and they said, no, we can't take because we don't know. Maybe you've put some kind of herbs in there that will make us into difficulties, so take them away. And so and so forth. They set the situation up. Then, because they were so proud, Subal reminded them of how once or twice Krishna had been very successful in embarrassing them. And Lalita immediately reminded everyone of once or twice when Jyotila had actually caught Krishna and he had been so embarrassed himself that they all felt sorry for him. And after this kind of countering effect, then it began to become a little confrontational when Nandimukhi appeared, who of course was there before but she had hidden, to come out again at the appropriate time. And Nandimukhi told Krishna she had a message from Purnamasi. And Purnamasi is guru of all the Brijvasis. And that Purnamasi said Krishna should be very lenient with the girls under these circumstances. They're going to a sacrifice. So he should be very lenient with his tax. And Krishna, sort of with a false smile, told the girls that actually the proper tax for each, what it was called a tanka, a weight in gold, for each one tanka of your ghee, you should pay 3 tankas of gold. But I'll be very kind under the order of Purnamasi and I will waiver that and instead you'll pay 1 tanka for 1 tanka of ghee. So that didn't sound very lenient. But then he asked Madhu Mangal to actually work out what the tax was, since they could only come up with a few cowries. He said to Madhu Mangal, as his chief accountant, you work out the tax. So Madhu Mangal went into a great effort of working it all out, and this is this, that's that, and so on and so forth. And therefore he concluded that these girls, for their 5 pots of ghee, should pay 8,400,000 gold coins. And Chitra, very politely, because she's the most right-wing, most politest of these three gopis, she said very politely to Krishna, if the tax is 8,400,000 gold coins, what is the ghee itself worth? And Krishna replied by telling them that the ghee itself is priceless. Because otherwise, why would the sages be prepared to accept the ghee for the yajna and give them priceless jewelry in return? So then, after that, also Krishna pointed out that Madan Mangal, who's a little bit weak-minded and prone to accept bribes, had actually made the tax a little lower than it should be, because he was hoping, thought Krishna, that if he made the tax lower and he favored the gopis, then maybe they would pay him in milk products. So he had this in his mind when he gave only 8,400,000, because it should be actually a crore, or 100,000 is the actual tax. At 1 crore, anyway. So this was what Krishna suggested. And then Vrinda asked Lalita, who was getting a little bit angry by now, to be very quiet, just for a moment to be quiet, because she wanted to hear the verbal battle that would take place now between Radha and Krishna themselves. And she commented that this battle of words, joking argument, would be sparkling with ecstatic emotions. So here we begin today. So Krishna begins. He says, O young girl who acts very boldly in her own house, now where will you run? You are trying to escape without paying the tax, but it will be very difficult for you to take even one step beyond this place. And Radha looks at him and says, are we merchants that we flee in fear of toll gate collectors? Krishna says, well said, very good, and cheers her angry words, and says, however, since you refuse to pay our toll, I must now remove the valuable pearl necklace from around your neck. And he moves towards Radha. He says, I must now remove this pearl necklace so that the sun can rise. And Radha goes like this, and she says, it is not sure whether the sun will ever rise. And Krishna says, making the lotuses bloom, it is the brilliant sun himself, removes all darkness. And Radha says, O sun, you will not be able to remain as long as Rahu is here. And Krishna says, you see the mark of my invincible chakra? Rahu will not be able to appear. And Radha says, O crooked snake marked with a chakra, you have slayed thousands of girls with your poison. Now, go to your mountain cave along with your snake-like Murli flute. Krishna says, O clever girl, you speak the truth. This elephant of lovers uproots lotus-like girls like you very easily. And Radha says, but know it for certain that this lotus-like girl will not give you even a single coin. And Krishna says, oh beautiful girl, although the king wants his money, if you like, instead of giving the coins, you can give yourself instead. And Radha laughs at him. But then she says, alas, oh best of cheaters, please be kind. Please, out of your unlimited compassion, please accept this person as your tax. Krishna says, oh ferocious girl, expert in the art of achieving whatever you want. Just to ridicule me, you are speaking so pitifully. But now hear the truth. A person like myself feels embarrassed to touch a girl, even with his feet. So do not display humility just to ridicule me. And Radha smiles at him and says, when one is being thoroughly ridiculed and thinks that he is being praised, this is a sign of uncontrollable pride. And then she says, oh bull, when a garland is thrown on your horns, you think that you are being appreciated. And when you are fed some putrid molasses, you look very cheerful and you take it as a kindness. And all the girls start laughing at Krishna. He looks so foolish and they're all laughing at Krishna. And what does Krishna say? He says, my words will now take rest and my hands will remove your pearl necklace. And Radha says, do you dare to touch thunderbolts with your lotus-like hands? Do not say any more. As you boys all watch, I will walk away. And she turns and Krishna says, your long hair is your wings. He says, oh. And he says, flapping your wings, you will fly away. And she turns around and she says, oh boy who serves 1,000 parrots. Do you think that I am a parrot who's going to fly to you? She says, I am not a parrot. And Krishna says, you are a parrot, and I will trap you in my cage. And then he says, you are a dice player, and I will corner you. Then Radha says, shame. Because you serve this Emperor Mamata, you are not afraid even to touch a chaste girl who is devoted to her husband. And Krishna smiles and says, O chaste and noble one, bound by vows to your husband, this is why I desire to honor you. And Radha says, O expert at crooked arguments, stop. Touching noble ladies will bring only a calamity. And Krishna says, O girl who deems herself noble, have I become so low class that it is improper for me to even touch you? And Radha says, arresting others' wives in the middle of the forest is your idea of acting like a great soul? And Krishna says, O beautiful girl, if you actually think yourself the best of girls, if you actually think yourself the best of girls, then pay my tax. And Radha says, I am like a gold, heavy gold deity. And I am resistant to blazing fire. So the fangs of your many-hooded serpent cannot affect me. And Krishna says, oh Radha, you truly are a beautiful iron statue. And I am a magnet. Therefore, kindly accept me. And Radha turns away and says, go away, go away. And then she says in distress, don't touch me. And Krishna says, you are the crest jewel of all young girls, and you were given to me in place of a toll of 8,400,000 gold coins. And he starts to walk towards her as if he's going to touch her. And Radha turns around to Lalita and says, Lalita, why are you just standing here watching this? And Lalita steps forward between Krishna and Krishna's coming. Radha is there. Lalita steps in the middle. And she says, standing in front of Krishna, although we have not even lent an ear to this talk of paying a toll by these rascal plunderers, still I wish to say something. Krishna says, O harsh girl, say whatever you like. Lalita says, today, your friend Madhumangal declared that every one of us girls was worth much more than 8,400,000 gold coins. Madhumangal had said that. And it is common knowledge, well known, that my dear friend is the most valuable of all of us. She is much more valuable than 84 lakhs of gold tankas, which is the amount of the tax. Yes, yes, everyone says yes. So then she says, therefore, O thief, why do you think you have a right to grab this girl by force? And Krishna doesn't know what to say, because he's being accused, you see, of a thief, because he's taking something more valuable than the tax by force. So why does he have a right to do this? And Krishna doesn't know what to say. He thinks to himself, she's made me speechless. I don't know what to reply, but he keeps this very quiet to himself. And then, because he's very cunning and very clever, he immediately turns in the opposite direction and he looks off into the distance, and the girls follow him, and he's looking off into the distance and he says, Subal, what is that loud, threatening sound that's coming from the distance? And then he grabs Subal's shoulder as if he's frightened. And he says, that noise makes me feel very frightened. And Subal and everyone else is looking off into the distance, and the girls are trying to understand what is going on. And then Krishna whispers in Subal's ear. And Subal says, I will go and find out the cause of these sounds. Imaginary sounds. And off he goes. Now, meanwhile, Krishna has done this because he had to catch his wits, you see, because he had to have a good answer for Lalita, because she was so bold and she made a very clever point. So now Krishna turns, he's gathered his wits, he turns to Lalita and he says, O sharp-tongued Lalita, It is true that your friend is worth more than 84 lakhs. But it is not true that your friend is worth more than a crore. So, to make up the crore, I will have to take you as well as the payment. And Radha says, Nandi Mukhi, your order for Purnamasi is being very well executed. Now the tax has increased to 1 crore. Before it was less. He just put the tax up. And Nandi Mukhi says, Radha, what do you mean? On Purnamasi's request, only 1/3 of the fee is being exacted. Now, Subal comes back. He went off into the forest to find out what that amazing, terrifying sound was. And now he comes back looking very confident. He's worked out what that was. And so he enters with his friend Ujjala. The two of them went together. And he comes to Krishna and he says, Dear friend, the lion amongst the forest grove emperors is victorious. His army have defeated all directions. So the girls are wondering what the emperor is going to say or do now. And Ujjala, Krishna says, Ujjala, did you bring a letter from the emperor? And Ujjala says, Yes, yes. Here is the letter of authorization from the emperor, placing you in charge of his main toll station. And he takes a kitaki bud. And in Krishna's hand, he places his hand out and he drops the bud in Krishna's hand. And Krishna takes the bud and he starts to read it to himself. He's reading the letter. And the girls are all wondering, what's on the letter? So then, Vrinda says, O best of young boys, we also wish to hear the letter. Can you please skip the introduction and read the letter to us? So now Krishna takes his kitaki bud and he starts to read out loud, very proudly, he says. The emperor says, Some ferocious, crafty, and arrogant girls with beautifully shaped eyebrows who are proud of their expertise in worshipping the sun god have been wandering around here refusing to pay tax. You must catch them and try to tax them. But be very alert. If you see them cheating, then you must charge them a penalty of 100 times the amount of their toll. Nandi Mukhi says, O king of tax collectors, how could these pure-hearted girls even dream of cheating? Krishna says, That may be true. Nevertheless, it is the order of the emperor of the forest that the tax be paid. Then he looks at the four girls standing there looking a little angry but a little shy. And he looks at them and he says to himself, It's quite amazing. He says, These young girls, they have just passed out of childhood. And yet, they're very shapely. He says, Although they're very well covered with the finest of cloth, I can understand from their golden auras that each of these girls is concealing two more golden pots. Beneath their veils, Nandimukhi, look very carefully, because even an expert tax collector could be fooled and not recognize that these girls are smugglers. Then, when Krishna said that, the gopis say, "You rascal, go home!" And Krishna says to Vrinda quietly to the side, he says, "Vrinda, look at those five girls' faces with their curved eyebrows. Kamadev has been worshipping the faces of these five gopis standing in front of me. And having obtained knowledge of the military art, he now wants to challenge and kill me." And Madhu Mangal says, "Control yourself, control yourself. These girls are watching us." So Krishna controls himself and gets himself together again. And he says, "Madhu Mangal, I am amazed how astonishingly crooked these girls are. So be it. What do we care?" He says, "The toll for their cleverly concealed pots." They've got one pot, they're hiding two pots. "So the toll for their cleverly concealed pots that are being smuggled should be calculated, then doubled, then multiplied by 50, and then multiplied by 100. Because you see, they're being deceptive. Krishna is so mischievous. He's so crooked. And the girls are so angry with him. And then Madhu Mangal, he's done it. He's a very good accountant. He sits there and he goes, "Okay, listen here," he says. "Listen," he says. "The king's share of the toll now," the new toll, because we revised the toll because they're smuggling. "The king's share of the toll is now 4 billion coins. And your share, O master of learning, is 640 million coins. And my share as the accountant is 250 million coins. And 1100 million coins is the fare for Subal and the other boys." Krishna smiles and says, "So now the tax is 5 billion gold coins." So if you thought that Srimati Radharani was worth more than 8,400,000, now the tax has been risen so that Krishna is still in the topmost position. So then Radha says, "I don't see that you have any big containers here. So where will you keep all the coins?" Krishna says, "Enough of these jokes. O doe-eyed girl, happily pay the toll that we have calculated." Then Nandimukhi steps forward, coming close to Krishna, and she says with a little resentment, taking the side of the gopis at this point. She says, "O cunning boy, why did you falsely increase the tax by adding 10 more pots? These honest girls are the object of Purnamasi's affection." Krishna says, "Nandamukhi, there is nothing false in my calculations. It is correct to say that these five girls are indeed carrying 15 pots." Nandimukhi says, "O king of heroes, persons like myself, being strict followers of saintly Purnamasi, we never speak unless we know the truth. So perhaps, therefore, we should check to see whether these girls are in fact smuggling. And the girls get so angry at Nandimukhi and say, Nandimukhi, you are a troublemaker, go away. And Nandimukhi says, why are you angry with good advice? And Krishna says, what do we have to lose? Lord Hari will not excuse even a sesame seed worth of the gold that needs to be paid. So here you see, by one means and another, Krishna is trying to get the upper hand. And by one means and another, the gopis are attacking and defeating him. And then Krishna escalates, and then they escalate. And in this way, this beautiful, loving argument continues. And it's interesting to note that this one-act Bhanika play was written by Srila Rupa Goswami for the pleasure of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was in such a deep mood of separation. And when he received in his hands the manuscript of Lalita Madhava, another wonderful drama by Srila Rupa Goswami, hearing that Krishna left Vrindavan and that the gopis were suffering so much in his absence, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami cried and cried and cried, and he couldn't stop crying, just thinking that Srimati Radharani was feeling absence of Krishna. So when Sri Rupa heard that Srila Raghunath Das was in such deep, deep, deep mood of separation from reading his manuscript, he very quickly wrote this Dan Keli Kumudi. And he had one of his servants take this manuscript and give it to Raghunath Das and tell him that they required the Lalita Madhava for further editing. And instead he gave this drama to him, and he took the Lalita Madhava away. And because Raghunath Das, unlike ourselves, is so highly eligible and qualified in love for Radha and Krishna, when he got this manuscript in his hands, he couldn't stop laughing and laughing and laughing. And he became immensely happy just to read how Radha was so transcendentally defiant, and she was defeating Krishna in so many wonderful ways. So let us continue. So then Vishakha thought to herself, Krishna is so tricky. We should be tricky as well. And she said to herself, let us worship fire with its own flame. By offering Kanaya Vrinda as his fee. So she comes up to Krishna and says, O King of Heroes, how is it that you demand such a large tax for 5 pots of ghee? Anyway, let it be so. But still, thinking of you as our very kind prince, we would like to offer you Vrinda as your fee. Lalita pretends and she says, Vishakha, you are such a fool. You wish to give away our guru and our dear friend Vrinda for such a cheap price? And Subal says, is it fair to offer just one Vrinda when the tax is 5 million coins? It is not possible to cheat gopas so easily because we are very expert in counting our cows. And Madhu Mangal adds, he says, Lalita, you're just making this false praise, calling Vrinda their guru and best friend, and how could we possibly give her to you? And Lalita said, O Brahmin boy, listen. The demigod Indra is better than 33 other million demigods because he is their king and he has 1 billion gold coins in his hand. But better than Indra is Lord Brahma, because his wealth lasts for trillions and trillions of years. And better than Brahma is the goddess Lakshmi, because she is the source of all wealth. And better than Lakshmi is Vrinda, whose unprecedented wealth makes even Lakshmi look like an unimportant beggar. Because even Lord Vishnu, because we know in the form of Shalagram Shila and Tulsi, there is a marriage between the Shalagram Shila and the Tulsi. So she says, even Lord Vishnu himself desired to attain Vrinda. All this I heard from noble Purnamasi. Vishakha says, falling at the feet of Lalita, she says, as if she has made a terrible offense by offering the guru like this. She says, oh, Lalita, your words are very, very true and very, very sweet. Yet in order to free ourselves from this unbearable situation of being stopped like this and asked to pay tax like this, in order to free ourselves from this terrible situation, I will do anything, even if it's wrong. So please, be kind and allow us to offer Vrinda as the fee. And then we will go to the yajna and we'll quickly purify ourselves with the smoke from the sacrificial fire. And Lalita smiles a little and she doesn't say anything. She stands with her head bowed down. And Vishakha smiles and says, oh, Lalita, I know what you mean. As if she's reading Lalita's mind. She says, oh, I understand. You approve of this, but only for today. And Krishna says, did you see this wonder? Next, these gopi thieves will want to offer me a fee of my own shark-shaped earrings that wildly dance upon my ears. And Nandimukhi says, Krishna, Radhika, is it right to offer Vrinda as a fee? Because she already belongs to Krishna. And the girls say to Vrinda, Vrinda, whose side are you on? And Vrinda stands there for a moment, and Krishna looks at her out of the corner of his eyes and he squints. And she gets the understanding of what he's trying to say. And she says, O king of thieves, the dancing of your eyes is useless because Vrinda follows Vrindavan Ishwari. And all the gopis start to laugh and cheer and clap their hands and they say, oh goddess of shyness, where have you gone now? Please be merciful. Hari Bol. And everyone is very happy and Vrinda says, my friend Radha, mistress of Vrindavan, I have something to say in this regard. And she says that actually I do not want to take any part in this toll collecting, and he's a very crooked person, so that is it. And then Radha laughs because she realizes that Krishna's saying, anyway, I don't want Vrinda. He starts saying, I don't want Vrinda. She's, anyway, Lord Hari has enjoyed her. I don't want Vrinda. And so then Radha turns around and says, the wise say that if one who renounces a lady because he cannot obtain her is known as a celibate horse. And Krishna is like, one after another, he's like, and then Madhu Mangal gets a great idea. And he steps forward to Vishakha and he whispers in Vishakha's ear,
And he says, Vishakha, Vishakha, come here. He says, I can help you to reduce the tax. I am an expert accountant, because he's been making all the accounts. He says, just bribe me, bribe me. So Vishakha says, oh, Arya, I will give you some fresh candy, which is, the word is sakaram. So Madhumangal says, Vishakha, you've got to be joking. She says, I swear on the sun god. All right, he says. So Madhumangal joyfully walks over to Krishna and says, my dear friend, I, at breaking the fury of a billion sulking ladies, and I am also the acharya for worshipping 1 billion cows during Deepavali festival. For these reasons, in today's grand occasion, although I have never asked you before for any remuneration for my skills and the things that I offer as a way of service to you, at this particular time, I think I should be given the remuneration of 1 billion gold coins. Krishna smiles and he says nothing. Madhumangal goes over to Vishakha and says, Vishakha, you definitely know that silence is a sign of approval. So, immediately, give me what you have promised. And he puts his hands out to get his candy. And Vishakha says, oh, she says, oh, Madhumangal, please instead take, please, no, she says, oh, Madhumangal, please take this. And she drops in his hands some broken pieces of a clay pot. And then he realizes that the word for the clay pot and the word for the candy is the same word. And he becomes very offended and he says loudly, you fraud, you just wait. I will really avenge myself. And then he turns around to Krishna and he says, my dear friend, enough of putting this off. We should take this and put off this petty matter immediately. Just take the tax. And at that moment when he tells Krishna to now take the tax, we stop for tonight. And tomorrow we'll hear what happened next. So, in this way, this wonderful argument goes backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. Krishna winning, Radha winning, the gopis arguing with Krishna, and Krishna saying, you think that I'm impure and I cannot touch you? You think that I'm a toll gate peon when I'm the absolute master of all toll gates? So we can see the wonderful love of the gopis, that they can treat Krishna, who we understand is the absolute controller of all the toll gates, they can treat him as if he's just a very rude village boy. So we will continue tomorrow. Thank you. Hare Krishna.